So the big question is this. How do most agents who don't have access to the secrets that most successful agents hoard to themselves grow and prosper in today's competitive real estate environment? That's the question. And this podcast will give you the answers. I'm Pat Hyben, and welcome to Real Estate Rockstars. All right, Rockstar Nation, we have a great guest today. Mr. Jeffrey Aberoger is on the line from Huntington Beach, Cali, and we're going to get deep into some serious stuff, guys, about follow-up. You all know that follow-up. You're probably sick to your blue in the face of hearing follow-up, but this guy's an expert when it comes to follow-up. And there's going to be some stuff said today that you have not heard before, I guarantee you that. So without further ado, let's dig into it. Jeffrey, welcome to Real Estate Rockstars.
Thank you. Great to be on here, Pat. Really appreciate it.
Hey, buddy, why don't you kind of tell everybody a little bit of who you are, that sort of thing, so they get to know you better.
Yes, sure thing. So my name is Jeffrey Broger, and I'm the founder of a company named Steezy Digital. Steezy means style with ease, and that is a surf skate term from my hometown, California. I'm from San Diego. So really, right out of high school, I was recruited for a direct sales commission-only position. And some of you might know the company. It's the knife thing, right? Cutco Cutlery. It's a company that's been around for 70 years, and most reps last 2 weeks. But for me, I was paying for school myself. I went to college and I had to pay for it myself. So I worked super hard. They told me to sit down, make 100 phone calls, and I did. And even though the average rep lasted 2 weeks, I ended up staying for 6 years, not only in the sales capacity, but also quickly went into the sales manager capacity. So unlike most 19 and 20 year olds, during spring break and summer, I would drive home to California from my university and recruit as well as manage and train an active sales team of 80 reps. And so early in life, I was going to personal development conferences. I was learning classic sales process from a company that's been around for quite some time. And through that, I was able to build a lot of great habits and work ethic, but also being younger, being a millennial, I also saw the potential for improving some of the processes that weren't as efficient and maybe aren't as fun as closing that customer, right? Because so much of sales is the tedious, consistent details.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about modern day, like, right? So now you run this company, Steezy, and tell me about Steezy real quick, and then we'll talk about it at the end as well.
Absolutely. So Steezy Digital really started as a marketing agency. And what we were doing is helping top 1% real estate brokers to generate more sales conversations, generate more leads, and nurture more leads from social media. I realized an inherent problem in the market where a lot of older real estate brokers who were 50 years and older, they've been doing real estate for maybe 15, 20, 25 years. They had a great local referral market. They had a lot of presence, but they struggled with the digital stuff. So we were able to come in and combine both of our knowledge. I admitted that, hey, I know some of the sales process. I've done this for a while, but I don't know the exact ins and outs of real estate. So they helped to teach me as the founder, the real estate sales process from, you know, it just is like they were recruiting a new realtor. They're going to indoctrinate them to their way. So I got really valuable insight there, but I also was able to bring to the table tons of marketing and technology, automation, the ability to follow up automatically, using systems that are 5 times more effective than email for follow-up. And so when we combined the two, we created a really cool system. And so that's what really the Steezy Digital was all about and still is.
And what kind of track record have you had?
Yeah, so just one of the case studies that was, it was published on a third-party blog, they covered a case study where we received a 12 times return on ad spend for one of our real estate broker clients. So to put that in perspective and tell a little bit more of the story, one of the top brokers out in Las Vegas, he is awesome. He's doing like $80 million a year in real estate in Vegas, where the average home price is 290. And he was interested in this, but he was a little apprehensive. So he's like, you know, I'll give it a shot. I'm already spending like 40 to 60 grand a month in advertising. What's a little bit more? So along with the monthly management retainer, he gave us $600 a month to spend in ads, which is small.
And when you say $600 a month to spend in ads, what are you spending, you know, what type of ads?
Yes, Facebook ads. So that's the media budget.
Okay, right. Got it.
So we used every bit of that. Like we milked it as much as we could. And the real, I think, inherent value of what we were doing was in the follow-up, because we had built out an entire lead nurture and follow-up system prior to ever launching the first ad. So just know that that was in place. And so what happened is, over the 6 month period of time, I sent every lead instantly to his CRM, but I also sent it to my own Google Sheet, which created this bank of all these leads I had given him, because I wanted to track it. And so at the end of the 6 months, what I did, he spent $3,600 total, right? $600 times 6 months. I went and asked his assistant to send me all of the closings over the last 6 months. And I personally, as the founder of the company wanting to track this campaign, I went through and cross-referenced and searched every close, the first name and last name and of the husband and wife, and cross-referenced it with this master lead bank. And it turned out that 5 of the leads that we sent him over that time actually converted into a real estate sale. And it averaged $1.45 million in real estate. And that resulted in $43,000 in GCI. So yeah, he spent...
And that's for $600 a month.
Yeah.
And that's a great return, because it was, you know, the average... You know, you could do the math, but that's I think all agents would like that. So first of all, let's talk about this. I want agents at home to be able to do this. So if you could share this with them, and I also want agents at home to learn kind of what not to do, what to do, not only with ads that you might buy, but and follow up on, but with follow up in general that you're not buying, right? So yes. First of all, let's start with that. Let's start with just regular old agent leads, people that you know. Let's talk about the do's and don'ts of follow up. What can you tell us?
Absolutely. So some of the do's, right when you initiate a relationship with somebody, I would recommend to go the extra mile and not just hand them a business card or not only add them as a contact in your phone. Also, for free, go add them as a friend on Facebook, add them on LinkedIn, add them on multiple social media.
Add them everywhere. Okay.
Yes.
What else?
And also, make sure to initiate a message and a conversation when they do add. So this is a tip that a lot of people have missed, and they're leaving money on the table. So especially if you have not met someone elsewhere, but they friend requested you on a platform like Facebook, Facebook automatically is trying to grow Messenger. So they open up a new Messenger thread in Facebook and they say, hey, you can now message and call each other on Facebook. Most people do nothing with that. They don't actually initiate a conversation. Well, I always recommend for the agents that work with us to initiate the conversation and say something simple like, hey, great to connect. Is there any particular reason you're reaching out right now? And this, it's a simple question to open the conversation, and it makes sense. You have on your profile realtor, you know, Coldwell broker, and you have all over your Facebook profile that this is what you do. This person reached out to you, start a conversation. And of course, the question goes, do you know anyone who's buying or selling a home within the next 6 months or a year? You know, you can pepper that in somewhere throughout the conversation. But really, the first phase is building rapport, right? Before you can really nurture.
So you friended them, but then you're asking them a question on Messenger.
In this particular case, they would have friended me.
They friended you.
And then I respond with that. But even when I do friend them, say I kind of see him.
Just to get them to start talking. Now, what's the question that you type in there again?
Sure. hey, great to connect. And then, is there any particular reason why you're reaching out right now?
Is there any reason why you're reaching out right now? And this is anybody that wants to connect with you anywhere. And yeah. then you're LinkedIn, whatever, and Instagram, whatever. And then you just let it sit.
Yep. And that's for an incoming. And then for an outgoing, say you send a friend request.
Wait a minute. Let me stop you there. And then with that,
yeah,
they're going to say what? Something that they need something, or hey, I'm just, you know, we have mutual friends, whatever. Now, how do I relate that to selling them a piece of real estate?
Yes. So what it does is it allows the exchange of energy to begin. It doesn't just leave it as friend request accepted. Now they're archived into my friend list forever, and maybe they'll see a post at some point in the future. Right. It initiates the,
because that's a form of like really light branding, guys. Like, you got to think about this. Like, you know, the whole idea of light branding on, or branding at all on social media is a joke, because the people have so many followers and they have so many friends that just, you know, and they're scrolling right through it. And unless you're like running nude across a football field with six cops chasing you on every post that you do, they're just not going to see you.
Right.
So the answer is to communicate with them direct. Right. Just 100%. Like Jeffrey's saying, you know,
100%.
Get in an engaging conversation. Every single person, even some random from India that, you know, has no mutual friends, ask them the same question. Just get in the same habit of asking the same exact questions that every single person connects with you on all social media channels. Okay. Now let's flip the switch. Let's say you connect to them. You meet them somewhere. First of all, I want to talk about some specifics on getting this, because I've heard agents talk about some roadblocks. Let's say their name is Nathan Smith, and you type in Nathan Smith, and there's 14 of them on Instagram, right, that show up. What do you do?
Right. So for Instagram specifically, I would actually go to Facebook, find them on Facebook, and Instagram's typically linked, and it's much easier to search for people on Facebook. So that's one tip. You can,
and then wait a minute, and then they once they're on, you're friends with them on Facebook, your Instagram will be linked, so they'll show up first. If you go and retry it, they'll show up first, right?
Yes, and you can typically see either posts from Instagram, or you can go in their about and see that their Instagram is linked to their Facebook, and click the link from there.
Okay, so, what else?
So I want to talk about the mindset of...
Wait a minute. There's more.
There is more.
You type in their email. You can search people by email.
Yes.
And so if you get Nathan Smith's email, you can type in his email, nathansmith@yahoo.com, and that profile will show up on Facebook. Will it show up on the other ones too?
So I am not sure if it shows up on Instagram, honestly, but it is a great tactic.
It may on LinkedIn, and also the cell number. You should try it all. Because I know it works beyond a shadow of a doubt on Facebook. You can type in someone's cell number on Facebook because they have to link their cell number. You can type in their email on Facebook because they have to link an email. Now, providing they don't have four email accounts, and they used a different one for Facebook, it's going to hit.
100%. So with that being said, it's super important to talk about the mindset of these, because Facebook, they talk about Facebook being the town square of the world.
What do you mean? There's all
kinds of people walking in and out. There's people you don't know. There's people you might know. You're grabbing lunch with them. But okay, there's a lot going on.
Yep.
They talk about Messenger like it is the living room conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like 90% open rate on Messenger, right? And email has, like, if you can get a 10% open rate on emails you send, blanket emails that you send, you're doing great.
Yes.
Right now on Messenger, people are getting like 90% is the average, right?
That's right. So for our lead nurture campaigns, we get 97% open rates on Messenger.
Crazy. Crazy. So Messenger is the way to go, right? You should try to. I think LinkedIn is too spammed out, right? Like so much spam on LinkedIn. I wonder what the open rate is on LinkedIn. Do you know?
I'm not sure what the exact open rate is on LinkedIn, but I know that if you send out tons of outgoing connection requests, only about 20 to 25% get accepted. So with that being said, that's really the only way to message someone on LinkedIn anyway. So you're throttled right there.
Yeah. No, definitely go through Messenger. And it has a separate app, you know, that sends notifications just for the other person. One of the challenges I have too on, number one, I have on LinkedIn is just too much, right? Too much spam. Number two, on Instagram, it kind of gets pushed down. Like literally I can look at Instagram 4 days in a row and not even notice I have a message in there. But Messenger, you're going to know right away when you have a message in there. So let's stay on track. So you now have connected to Nathan Smith. You met him at a party. What do I do from here to get him to use me as a real estate agent?
Great question. So here's a couple of tactics that you can use. So first of all, invite him to like your Facebook business page for real estate. The reason why is because you can retarget people that have liked your page. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two is, when you post some content, even of you and your family, you're spending family time, you're not doing real estate stuff.
Yep.
Pay to promote it. And what you can do is you can promote it and then retarget people who have watched a certain amount of the video. So you could think of it as digital farming. So for example, Mr. Nathan Smith, you add him as a friend on your personal Facebook profile. Well, what you can now do is post on your business profile, share it to your personal profile, and when Nathan Smith watches it, you can retarget him. You could also tag the person directly.
Wait a minute, slow this down. So what, first of all, how do I, you know, not how do I pay, but when you say promote it, right, you're first of all, you're promoting it on your real estate agent business page, right?
Yes.
You're paying, right? Okay. So you, through certain demographics or whatever, you pay to promote that. You're not boosting it on your personal page, because all boosting does, guys, is just kind of is going to the people that like all your stuff already anyways, right? It's not, and then what he's saying is now you, from the personal page, you are retargeting. Explain that to Nathan Smith.
Okay. So number one, on your personal page, you can't run ads. So even though your personal Facebook page, for this example, gives you a little bit extra reach, is what it's called. Your post is shown to more people and you get some more comments and likes right away.
Yep.
The long game, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because you can never run an ad to that. You can't track any of the people that are watching that stuff. So I always teach my real estate clients, here is the posting syntax. Here's the list and the 1, 2, 3 of how you do it so that you maximize each post. You do a video or something along those lines. You
okay, post number it to your one.
Business Facebook post page. That's
video
number two.
To your business page. Okay.
And then you click share and you share it to your personal page.
Okay.
Why do we do that? Because when someone is scrolling on from their feed and they see you sharing your business's video, well, now when they watch 10 or 15 seconds or a minute of that video, that interaction is being tracked by Facebook.
And then you pay money then to retarget that person.
Yes. Right,
which means it just keeps going to them. They keep seeing all your new videos as you post them because you know that they watched it, right?
Yes. And I want to also clarify that. So retargeting is not only from a website view anymore, meaning you go to Expedia.com, you look at that hotel for you and your wife, and you almost check out, but you don't. You go back to social media. And what's right there? That hotel room, right? That's website retargeting.
Mm-hmm.
But you can now retarget based on video view You can retarget based on engagement. So what I mean by that is if you create a 3-minute video, it's for a beautiful listing in your area. You had a drone, go out and shoot this amazing, right? Like you were seeing this now. We're seeing more cinematic type of real estate listing videos. Well, if you now promote that video on Facebook with what's called a video view campaign, you can get a ton of views for nothing. You can get, I got 20,000 views for my client for $100, right? Mm. So now what you can do with those 20,000 views is retarget only the people that watched more than 50% of the video.
Yeah, I like that, right? Because that's the thing when you worry about those views. You're like, what does that mean, right? Does that just mean somebody, you know, watched the first 5 seconds and then scrolled to the next thing, right? Which happens a lot, especially if you're watching from your phone. It's easy to scroll down videos.
Right, absolutely. So you can eliminate all the people that only watch 3 seconds, all the people that only watch 10 seconds, and you can actually target the 1,000 people that watch more than 50% and then serve them a lead generation ad.
Nice.
Hey, you want to come to some open houses this weekend? Here's a list of them. Hey, do you want a list of properties in your area under a certain dollar amount? Right? So that's, you're retargeting based on intent. They're showing more intent by watching that video longer.
I love it. And I think what Jeffrey's saying here, guys, is essentially all this energy and all this time that's being spent on picking up the phone, following up, texting, yes, you know, and all that stuff. He's saying, hey, don't do that. He says, you know, I understand that they didn't reach out to you on Facebook. I understand that you didn't find them they didn't contact you on social media, but that doesn't mean that you can't bring the entire communication process over to social media, right? You could bring it over to Facebook, let's say, the easiest one to do, and do this and just save so much more time and energy and have it be more effective, right? Because it's doing while you're asleep. You don't know when the guy's on Facebook.
Right. You nailed it. Yes. So you can supplement and exchange a lot of that energy that you're putting out into cold calling or calling expireds or door knocking and all this stuff. And you can actually create know, like, and trust within your sphere from social media if you're doing it right. And so you can really farm and you can create that affinity from people. So what I mean by that is you're building rapport, right? Like that's the whole first step of the sales process. You've got to build that connection. Well, the average online lead nowadays is 11 months out.
Yeah, I heard that. 11 months out, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, 11 months, by the time you get a lead, it's 11 months out. I read a statistic this morning. It's funny. Read a statistic this morning. It says Zillow has 140 million, I believe, subscribers, right? Every month. I'm going to grab it. And 140 million, I believe, but only half a million are active. Only half a million people buy a house in a given month. Or only half a million of them buy a house out of 140 million, which is like, you know, less than a half of 1%. So it's crazy what goes on, right?
Right.
It's crazy. So let me ask you this. Here's a cool question. Like, what do you think is, as far as lead follow-up, process that takes 11 months, what is dying and what is the future for it?
Great question. It's an age-old sales mantra. The fortune is in the follow-up, right? So with that being said, what's dying? Email.
What's wrong? What is email?
Think about it. How many hundreds or how many thousands or how many tens of thousands do consumers have that are that little badge on their phone of unread emails? I saw one yesterday, 17,000 unread emails.
That's crazy.
And
who does that?
Right.
How do you so? Bring
I mean, there are jokes about it.
Like a hoarder,
right? There are jokes about it. It's you're one or the other. You're the mail app with no badge. With like you're completely caught up, or you have 100,000 unread emails. So, with that being said, yes, you can send closing docs through an email and people will open it. But as far as nurturing, as far as sending marketing out, as far as keeping in touch and staying top of mind, it's dying. I mean, it's really, really is dying. And so what is
new? Do you think one day, like, you know how you can airdrop photos?
Yes.
Do you think email will be airdropped one day where the only way you could get an email or a document that you want to send somebody is to send it through some sort of airdrop, and then all other communication will be text, right? So that you won't even have email.
Right. That's interesting. And long range airdrop.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because I mean, more and more people I'm calling and their voicemail says, I do not do voicemail. Please text me.
Right.
I can tell you, my daughters are in their low 20s and they don't do email, right? I send them an email. They might get it in like 5 days. They only do email if they have to check for a document that someone sent them that has to be downloaded or something.
Yes. Right?
So, you know,
and past that as well, it's not only the millennials, it's not only daughters. I mean, everyone, emails, there's an inherent flaw. It's decentralized. You have Hotmail, you have Gmail, you have Yahoo, you have so many, and you can buy a list. I could buy 100,000 emails tomorrow and start spamming them.
Yeah.
It's unregulated. And because of that, the marketing channel has now declined and diminished in the eyes of the consumer. They don't value it anymore. They see it as a burden that they have to go check.
Mm.
In contrast, Facebook Messenger and text are much more protected. They're centralized. Yes, you can buy a phone number list, but did you know that 80% of text messages are never sent to you?
No. What does that mean?
That means that there are tons of Nigerian princes out there and all these offers that go straight into your spam folder and email that are going to your phone, but they never go through because they're marked as spam from the sender and the SMSs don't even go through. So
SMS, really? I didn't know that. Like text, like somebody's texting me and it's blocked by who? By who? Apple?
Well, it's blocked. Like, do you get text on your...
provider?
Yeah, exactly. Do you get texts on your phone now and it says, I just had one this morning. The first text from someone that has a reputable number and it's like, do you want to mark this as spam? Or once you reply, yeah, then it confirms it.
It says maybe Russ. Like it like the iPhone will actually say maybe Russ and confirm, or do you want to mark it as spam?
Right, so exactly.
Like they try to figure out, Siri somehow tries to figure out what the dude's name is or how they might be related, if they're in your contacts or if they're actually, if you're in your contacts, it's going to show their name, but if they're not, it somehow it figures out who they may be from something and it'll say maybe Russ.
Right. So to answer your question, Pat, what's dead and then what's new? Well, everything is going towards is mobile first. I'm talking SMS. I'm talking messaging apps. If it's built for the phone and it's secure and centralized, that's what people want. People are shifting more towards encrypted data sources, stuff that, like WhatsApp, for example, has encrypted messaging, which has bank-grade encryption for an average message. And people actually value that highly. It's one of the highest used
messaging apps. Why would I care if I'm not a drug smuggler, trying to hide money? You know, why would I give a shit if it was encrypted or not? I never understood that.
Yeah. So encryption, it saves from obviously hackers and people getting into your messaging thread. People share sensitive information, like not only photos, but passwords and all these different aspects of media, family photos. So the more secure it is, the safer people are going to feel and the more user adoption there will be.
Okay. So email, anything that requires a laptop, sounds like, all that's dead, dying, right? Jeffrey's saying, right? I agree.
Yes.
What's 2 years from now? What's the world going to look like communication-wise for agents trying to follow up with buyers and sellers? Where's it going to be where people are like, damn, I wish I tried that today. Now this guy and this girl started this 2 years ago and they're killing it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the first people that started getting all the Zillow reviews,
right?
Before anybody was even getting any, right? So,
yes. So both my parents were entrepreneurs, and when they were growing their business in the early 2000s, everyone was saying, why don't you have a website? That's how it's going to be with Messenger in a couple of years. You don't have a Facebook Messenger like experience with your business page? Why don't you have a Facebook Messenger, either a real estate chatbot or something going on there? I messaged your business 3 weeks ago on Facebook. You didn't get back to me. I go into top brokers' real estate pages on Facebook that they've had up as a Facebook business page for a couple of years. And there would be someone from 6 months ago that said, hey, I want you to sell my house on 2300 San Alijo Avenue. No response.
Yeah, I have that problem myself, to be honest with you. Mine stems from having too many damn pages. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If I only had one page, I could handle it. But Facebook is funny with the way that they tell you you have messages. Like, Messenger's easy. But when it comes to messages, verifying your tags, things like that, there's a lot of that stuff I don't see until, like, one day I'm like, I have three things that need to be you know what I'm talking about? Where it's easy to get lost?
Yes. So the question is, wouldn't it be nice if there was something that could help you to nurture and get back to those people and turn them into a lead? Integrate them with your CRM.
Bam. Like that lead 6 months ago that said, hey, I want to talk about listing my house. Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if there's something that went, bam, hey, this is the best number to call us, and it immediately integrates them with your CRM so it comes to the top of where you're looking every day?
Right. Immediately. No, I agree. I agree. And it says, you know, one thing that listeners can do to tie into what you're saying, the future is going to lie, is consciously go to your messenger over your email. Like, if you're like, oh man, I got to email three people today, consciously don't go to your email. Consciously find them on Facebook. The way you find them on Facebook, you cut and paste their email into Facebook. Like I said, like them, friend them, and you can send them a messenger without even being friends with them. Again, it's you got to make sure that they're getting it, because if you're not friends with them, it goes to a different folder.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Which is scary. And I think that that's why people are scared to do it. But maybe you could create some system where if they don't reply on Messenger, you follow up with email or text the next day. But basically, my point is to get in the habit of just being on Messenger all the time, so that you start building that muscle in how you communicate, and you start building your Messenger database and your real friends that you're communicating with.
100%. Plus, Messenger supports rich text. So what I mean by that is we have SMS, that was first, right? When we had flip phones. Mm-hmm. Then MMS came out. Cool, we can send a photo, we can send videos. Well, now what's next is RCS, and the service providers for texting have agreed to all go to RCS as a uniform.
What is it? What is RCS?
I'll tell you about it. But in the next 12 months, so everyone's going to have RCS. And what that means is you can have more of an app-like experience. You know how iOS, you can send a voice memo to someone, you can send a little video chat, you can interact with, it's more like an app. That's what all text providers have agreed to start to roll out, because they all have to be on the same page about it. So Messenger offers RCS right now, and you can send someone a 10-second video right when you connect with them. That's much more personal, and it's going to actually show your emotion and your face and your voice and your tone.
Versus shooting a video and attaching it. You could like just hit a button and it starts the video.
Yeah, bam.
And then it attaches it. Right. And then it's already natively, it's part of it. And you could probably go a lot longer, because a lot of times, you know, you shoot some video and it's 3 minutes long, and then you try to send it to somebody and it either takes a million years to get through, or it just kicks it back and says your video is too long.
Right. And so for this, already in Messenger, you can send 25 megabyte attachments. And pretty soon, once 5G rolls out, which is the new data network that is really throttling, 4G is throttling everything right now. Once 5G comes out, our data transfer speeds walking around when you're not on Wi-Fi are going to exponentially increase. And you could probably send 100 megabyte, half gigabyte, crazy files. So
That's where I just think that the, you know, this whole big file thing of sending via email, you know, I don't know if 5G is going to do it, but 6 or 7G may, you're like, like where you're just going to, there's just not going to not have email. So I think you got a great point, and it's something that real estate agents should try to start weaning themselves off of email as much as possible.
Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a time suck and it's really inefficient. One of my core beliefs is that when something is no longer working, there has to be a better way. I'm an innovator. And so that's what we've discovered over the last 18 months is there is a better way. And here it is. And not only is it here now, it's also growing massively. It's as a marketing channel and as a user base, Messenger and SMS, they're growing. So
I know a lot of people that have, you know, I've seen some extreme things lately. One thing, I called a guy, he's like, I don't take voicemail and I don't do email. Only way to find me is send me a Voxer, which I found was interesting. And I Voxed him and he Voxed me back and we had one-way communication going back and forth. So I had a really cool, interesting situation recently. I tried to reach out to a guy and he said, I don't do email, I don't do voicemail, I only do Voxer. And I had to Voxer him back and forth, one-way conversation. Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's an extreme case, but that's something that a lot of people are adopting. It's like you said on the voicemail, you call someone, hey, for a quick response, shoot me a text. Happens all the time.
You know, another thing too, actually is people are actually shutting down their email accounts and opening up new ones.
Yep.
Because they can't get rid of the spam. They unsubscribe and somehow it's so powerful that it just keeps coming through or ignored, or it takes way too long because they have way too many, you know, spam emails. So they're just like, hey, if you love me, if you know me, this email is shut down. Here's my new email.
Right. Absolutely. And isn't that an extreme to have to go to nowadays, where you unsubscribe from an email list 3 times and they still email you? So that's just, once again, it's an inherent problem with the platform. And because of that, open rates have steadily declined and user adoption has steadily shifted more towards these new messaging type of applications that are more secure. If you text stop to a business on Facebook in Messenger, you unsubscribe and you unsubscribe for good. Like, it's done. They stop sending you messages.
They actually have a button, because I did it to 2 people today. Actually, yeah. We're up in the top right corner. You could do it, and it says stop receiving messages from this person.
Which is good. That's a good thing. That saves marketers from themselves, because what they do is they find out a new channel that's working and they flood it and ruin it. So because Facebook and because SMS is more centrally regulated, it's a good thing. Because user adoption will remain high and growing rather than people getting upset that, oh man, I used to like this, but now I'm getting spammed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy business. All right, so all of Jeffrey's information will be in the show notes. Jeffrey Broger is too long to put in there. I'm going to just put hybendigital.com/Broger. And here's an easy way. It's like Frogger, but with a B. It's like Frogger the game, 2 G's, Frogger, F-R-O-G-G-E-R, but it's B-R-O-G-G-E-R. hybendigital.com/Broger, B-R-O-G-G-E-R. And this will be in there in the show notes. All of Jeffrey's information will be in the show notes. I'm also going to put it in the Agent Success Toolbox, which you know that his info is in there, in addition to hundreds of other free gifts that are guests have brought over the years. Jeff, this has been a blast, buddy. If I'm ever up in your neck of the woods, I'll definitely look you up and we'll get together and break some bread.
Thanks, Pat. I really appreciate you having me on, and I hope that we offered some value to the listeners. So that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Rockstar Nation, thank you for listening to Real Estate Rockstars. Listen, I need a favor. If you find this free content helpful, if you find our downloadable items from each guest helpful, please, I need you to pull out your pointing finger. Yes, the one finger that points at people, and hit subscribe. Yes, subscribe. The more subscribers we get, the better we look in the ratings, and the easier it is to get guests like Robert Kiyosaki, Barbara Corcoran, all the players that are on a million-dollar listing in the different cities. All that stuff makes it easier the more subscribers we get, so please subscribe. And listen, there's a lot of places you can leave comments. There's a lot of places you can like. We're on Facebook. We have an Instagram page. Instagram page is I Am Pat Hyben. The Facebook is Real Estate Rockstars Radio. Feel free to leave us comments there. The most popular form of commenting seems to happen on YouTube. Yes, for whatever reason, it's a very open environment. So just go to YouTube and go to Real Estate Rockstars Radio and leave us comments there. Some of them we will read on the show. And we love your feedback. So thanks, guys, and I hope you are having a great day. Oh, and also, listen, if you're going to subscribe and you haven't already left us a review on iTunes, please do that too. Have a great day, and thanks so much, Rockstar Nation. I really appreciate you.